Grace and peace to you in Jesus' name, the baptized one, the King of glory, our Savior, our Lord. Amen. I want to talk about Jesus' baptism, our baptism today. We rejoice in the wonders and power and grace of baptism. We pray. Lord, pour out the Holy Spirit always upon your church as you poured out the Spirit upon your own Son. Penetrate our minds and hearts now with your word as it's preached and heard. Draw us close to you. Give us faith, understanding, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, everyone here has a past, a present, and a future. And if we are honest, often our past, our present, and our future worry us, bother us. We can easily be very worried about our past, bothered by our past. I've sinned. I sinned against other people. I sinned against God. I've made mistakes. And so as we look at our past, we have guilt and shame, embarrassment. Can God forgive me? Can other people forgive me? Can I ever get rid of my past? And then we tend to worry a lot about our present. I have so much to do today, this week. So many problems of the day, issues of the day. So very, very busy. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow because today has enough problems of its own. We would agree. We tend to worry about the present, all that we got to do right now. How am I going to get it done? And then I think we all worry about the future. Is there really anybody in the church today that really honestly thinks in general the world will be a better place in 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, 50 years? America be a better place? Really, do we believe that? We worry for ourselves, our kids, our grandkids, great-grandkids. What's America going to be like in 5 years, 10 years, 50 years? War, job, health. What's this world going to be like? Faith, the church. Things change so rapidly. Well, in the baptism of Jesus, some 2,000 years ago, I think God addresses our past, present, and future. In Jesus' baptism and then in our baptism, when we are baptized, God, our Father, says, don't worry about your past. It's in my hands. Don't worry about the present. It's in my hands. And don't worry about the future. It's in my hands. Baptism covers all of life, past, present, future. It's as if God knows that we will doubt the power of baptism. It doesn't look like a whole lot when we baptize somebody. That he had these incredible, vivid miracles that happen when Christ is baptized. And these same miracles happen when we're baptized. Don't think that, well, those miracles happen when Jesus was baptized, but they don't happen anymore. I mean, come on. God is showing us the power of baptism by three miracles. They're vivid. If you were there, you see them. Wow, this is powerful stuff to be baptized. The heavens open, number one. That is God's message to our future. The Spirit descends like a dove upon Jesus. That's God's word about our present. Then the voice of the Father, you are my Son, with you I'm well pleased. Those are words for our past. For the same things happen when you and I are baptized, be it in the hospital like little Nelson or here in this church or some other church or maybe a living room somewhere. Baptism's powerful. Even though many people and many so-called Christians don't recognize its power, they ought to read about the baptism of Jesus and recognize its power. First of all, when Christ is baptized, what immediately happens? The heavens are opened. The first great miracle. The heavens open up. Whatever it looked like, it must have been fabulous. The heavens open up. And so right off the bat, God is saying in baptism, Jesus' baptism, your baptism. In baptism, our future is secure. We're going to go to heaven. You're baptized. You believe. Heaven has opened up to you. You're going to be in glory. You're going to be in paradise. Your body's going to rise. You're going to be with God forever and ever and ever. You're going to go up, not down. That's your future. So if God is saying, don't worry about your future. Jesus is going to go through all sorts of hell. He does. He's rejected, killed, murdered, suffers hell on the cross, but he rises and he ascends into heaven. That's where he's going to go. He's going to end up in heaven. And we who follow and are baptized into him, we follow him right up into heaven. That's our future. It's in God's hands. Glory, paradise. When Adam and Eve sinned back at creation, they sinned. God kicked them out of the garden. In other words, paradise is closed. God put an angel there at the garden with a flaming sword. Stay out. You're a sinner. I'm holy. The door's closed. Somehow we have to deal with your sin to get the door back open. And now Jesus comes, the Messiah, the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. All sins are on him. He's the sin bearer. And so, of course, heaven opens. It's opened back up. This Jesus takes away your sin. He will die for you. He's the Lamb. So heaven is open. And notice, heaven isn't just cracked open, where it's barely open. Is it open or not? Am I going to get in or not? We don't just see a little peephole into heaven. Ah, I think it's up there. What's it like? Nor does God open up heaven and slam it shut again. Aha, just teasing. Maybe you'll get in, maybe not. I might open it for you, maybe not. Open then shut. Guess what's going to happen to you? There's no maybe here. It's not cracked open, no peephole, no open and shut. It's open. And literally the word means it's ripped open. It just rips it open. It's wide open. It's your inheritance. God hasn't closed it on you. Jesus opened it for you. You're baptized. It stays open for you. God hasn't shut it on you. He never will. That's your future. You know, I read where a great landmark of Knoxville survived this week. What's the great landmark? Someone paid $2 million for it. Regus Restaurant. Who likes Regus or liked Regus? I think Regus means king, where the king eats, king and queens eat. Someone paid $2 million, so as I read in the paper, Regus wouldn't get bulldozed. It was going down. Someone saved it. A great future. Maybe they'll have food there again and great steak and great wine, and you'll feast there. Someone has saved us so we don't get bulldozed. And we deserve to be bulldozed because we're useless. And that's our God in the waters of baptism. And he paid a whole lot more than $2 million. He shed his blood. And so our future is secure. We're going to go to heaven. I am baptized. Say it with me. I am baptized. Secondly, the great miracle of the dove, the Spirit descends upon Jesus. This is for the present. Don't worry, I have your present in control too. I am with you. Why does the Spirit land on Jesus? He's God. Why does the Spirit come? Why does he need the Holy Spirit? He's the Son, the second person of the Trinity. Why does he need the third person of the Trinity on him? Well, Jesus also is human. He is God, but he's also human. He's 100% human. And the Spirit comes upon him because he's human too. And the Spirit is there to give him power, to give him wisdom, to give him guidance for his mission. For 3 years he will teach and teach and preach and preach by the power of the Spirit, the anointing of the Spirit. And then he will die on the cross and rise again and ascend into heaven. What a mission. What a job. The Spirit descends to help him with his mission and his job. When the heavens open, I suspect there were a number of people that thought Jesus would just go up into heaven. Ah, he's a good man, a perfect man. He's going to be like Elijah and just go right on up. But he doesn't. Rather, he stays with sinful people. And the Spirit comes down upon him. He has work to do before he will go up. He must give his life as a ransom for us all. He must serve and love and die and rise. He has work to do. And so the same for us. I've pastored, 24 years, baptized many people. And I know Pastor Smithy is here. I think Pastor Schultz is away today. Pastor Couch is here. Lots of baptisms that you've seen in church. Have you ever seen a person be baptized and then just go right up into heaven? Ever happened, Pastor Couch? Where's Pastor Smithy? Ever happened you baptized somebody that just went right up into heaven? No. They could. They're saved. They're washed. They're cleansed. They're God's child. They don't stay here to somehow earn their way. It's a gift given to them. But never do they just go right up into heaven. Why are we left here? Because we have work to do in the present. And God gives us the Spirit, faith, keeps us in the faith, gives us the power of the Spirit to carry out that work of loving our enemies and forgiving 70 times 7 times. and proclaiming the message of his love throughout the world, even though maybe nobody wants to hear it. And being a Christian, bearing the name of Christ and living as a Christian at the workplace, at the mall, at the grocery store, at church, the playground. Being a Christian and living for Christ and bearing his name in humility and love and gentleness, and yet boldly. And that's tough work. And so we have the Spirit, and God is saying, don't worry about the present. I give you a job. You want a job? You want a calling? You want to know why you're here? You're here to be a Christian. You're here to bear my name. You're here to be my witness. You're here to show my love. Don't worry about all the other things. This is what you're called to do. Remember who you are. You are my child. Now go live that way in whatever your calling is. Did you see on the front page paper, I think it was Thursday, I'm very glad of this, the pastor got off in La Follette. Pastor Andrew Hamblin in La Follette, he's the snake handling pastor, has some 50 plus copperheads and rattlesnakes he gets out in church, and he wasn't indicted by the grand jury. And so I read where they asked him, are you going to have snakes in church today? And he said, well, if God wills it. Well, I'm here to say we are called to do something much harder than handling copperheads or rattlesnakes. I'm not impressed. We have a tougher job we're left here to do, and that's fight a dragon called the devil. And that's called to love my enemy, who is often worse than a rattlesnake or a copperhead, to make peace with people that have mistreated me, to forgive them as God forgives, and to bear the name of Christ in a world that doesn't necessarily want to hear about Christ. And maybe to rebuke a friend gently when he doesn't want or she doesn't want to be rebuked because if they're going the wrong way. That's tough work. That's harder than handling some copperhead or rattlesnake and put them back in a box for the next week. This is daily work in an evil world. We're called to do it. You're with the job. You're a Christian. You have the Spirit. Don't worry about the present. You have your calling. And then the final miracle, which really applies to our past, where the Father, it's rare that God ever speaks from the sky, but the Father speaks from the sky. I mean, when else does he speak from the sky? The Father just can't control himself on this particular day in Jesus' life. And the Father bursts out for all to hear, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. Now, this is an announcement of who Jesus is for everybody to hear. He's not just another guy from Nazareth. This is my Son, begotten from eternity, now in the flesh, the Savior of the world, the Christ. I'm well pleased with him. It's an announcement of who he is. Now follow him. But also these words are for us. These words continue when we're baptized. And God says, you are my Son. You are my daughter. With you I'm well pleased. You're in the kingdom. You're my child. You're mine. And you are well-pleasing because your sins are forgiven. You're washed. You're clean. You're forgiven. I've taken it all away. And so, oh, how I'm so happy with you, child. These are words for our past. You're forgiven. Don't fret over 2013. Many of you, it's 2014 now, but many of you are still thinking about 2013. And some of you are thinking about 2010. And maybe 1995 when something bad happened and you were part of it and you did something bad and it ruined a lot of things. And it burdens you even today, your past. Get over it. Why? Because God's over it. Because God's washed it. God's cleansed it. God in Christ has taken it away as far as the east is from the west. You are forgiven, child. You're clean. Don't be burdened anymore. Live anew. Go and sin no more. You're well-pleasing to the Father. Will you live in 2014? You get stuck in the past about something. It's time to live. You know, when a baby has a dirty diaper, what does a parent do? Well, I had four kids that had dirty diapers, and I found Ann pretty quick. Honey, I'm busy. Or you find Grandpa or Grandma. I'm busy right now. I think they kind of smell bad. Well, you cannot rely on your baby to cleanse himself or herself. They cannot take away the dirty diaper. You got to do the job. And so you change the dirty diaper. It kind of stinks. It's filthy. We've all been there. I've had four kids. And then you clean them all up, and then you put on the baby powder, you put on the lotion, you put on fresh new clothing that smells good. Then what do? You hold your baby up. Ah, you're my baby. You're my little girl. You're my little boy. And you kiss him, and I go, oh, I'm so pleased with you. Ah, you smell so good, and you hug him and kiss him. Now, the kid didn't do a cotton-picking thing. He just pooped his diaper. And Poppy cried while you tried to change his diaper. You did all the work because you love your child. You cleaned your child. Got dirt all over in your hands. You might smell bad after it all. But you're my son, my daughter. I am pleased with you because you smell so good. Because I have washed you. I have cleansed you. I put new clothing on you. And that, dear friends, is holy baptism. And that's absolution in church. Where God knows we can't take away our own sin, but he loves us. We're his children. Washes us, cleanses us, puts on the clothing of Christ's righteousness, pours out the Holy Spirit upon us, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It smells so good to God. And God holds us up. Ah, you're my son, you're my daughter. I'm so pleased with you. Yes, he's pleased with you. Your past is forgiven. Live that way. So, baptism. The heavens open. Don't worry about your future. You're going to be in heaven. The Spirit comes down. Don't fret about your present. You got the Holy Spirit. Be a Christian and live that way, whatever you say and do. You are my son, my daughter. With you, I'm well pleased. You're forgiven and washed. Don't fret about your past either. It's washed. I am baptized. One more time. I am baptized. Our past, present, future in the hands of our Father. Amen. Let's stand. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll sing the offertory.